Coming up, Kate Raphael wonders how much the shooting of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords has to do with violence against women, and how much is just violence in general. Does sexist coverage of women candidates diminish the public's respect for women leaders? Does the fact that some of the most violent rhetoric come from right-wing women, like Sarah Palin, mean that gender isn't a factor? Kate discussed these questions with Yana Walton, Communications Director of the Women's Media Center. Yana spoke with Kate by Skype from Park City, Utah, where she was attending the Sundance Film Festival with a group of teenage journalists.
What is it that you're doing at Sundance, and how did that come about?
We have been partnering with Jennifer Siebel Newsom and her film that is premiering at 2011 Sundance Film Festival, her film Misrepresentation. And essentially, that takes a look at the connections between women's representation in media and then the gender disparity that we have in women's political leadership in our country, and how the messages that we're getting now are so detrimental that we're seeing, you know, a decrease, as we saw in the 2010 midterm elections, of women in Congress. And so a lot of our board members, including Gloria Steinem, have appeared on the film, and we are just really excited to get the word out about that, because that's what we're really about, is helping shape the messages that young women get and help women, young women become media makers in order to really change the political landscape, the social landscape, the cultural landscape of America. So we thought, what better way to really start shaping that conversation and creating our own positive media than to take a team of girl journalists for our Progressive Girls Voices programming to Sundance in order to interview women directors, women producers who are sort of bucking the trend and changing those conversations as well. So the girls have been interviewing everyone from Jennifer Newsom to Robert Redford, who they had the chance to meet today, and really highlight the work that we're doing at the festival, and, you know, let him know that, you know, in independent film, actually, women make up about 26% of directors, but in the top grossing Hollywood films, it's about 7%. So really, places like Sundance are wonderful forums for women, but we're still there to raise awareness about this and help those numbers keep going up.
It happens that the other night I turned on C-SPAN and the California channel was airing a conversation about women in media, women and girls in media, that Gina Davis was hosting. I didn't know that she is, I guess, a member of the Commission on the Status of Women here in California. And she was saying that even the fact that a woman won the Best Director Oscar didn't convince studios that maybe they should hire more women directors. And she was saying everything that happens with women in Hollywood is considered a one-off. So just because a film about women or by a woman or with mainly women protagonists does well, it doesn't mean, like, they don't then go, oh, we can have a bunch more films like that. They think, oh, well, that was just a fluke.
You know, with independent film festivals, with the digital technology that we have now, it's much easier for women to at least break in and start learning how to create films. But as far as, you know, the big studios, they're really not hiring women directors. And what we have seen is that when they do incredibly well. So
what kinds of questions did the girls ask Robert Redford?
They were really wondering what Sundance is officially doing to work on this gender disparity, and what they can do if they, you know, what are the first steps to directing a film. And you know, he was really, really such a lovely and humorous fellow. I feel like he's really, really committed to storytelling and perspectives from voices that generally don't get heard, and really spoke about, you know, several of the things that the festival is doing correctly. For example, one year it was the theme for the entire year was all women in film. However, it still holds, and this isn't just at Sundance, but just throughout independent filmmaking, that, you know, we women still are, you know, over half of the population, and we're still not directing, you know, even documentaries, which are so much cheaper to shoot and fund. You know, I think that our job with him was really to let him know that we're watching and that young women are care about this issue, and we'll be following the festival and following him and
blogging about it.
And hopefully they gain access to that world for the first time and make those connections.
I was looking at some of the girls' blogs, and they were all writing about a film they saw called Connected. Can you tell us about that film?
This film is directed by Tiffany Schlein, who has directed a few other films, but is also the founder of the Webby Awards, which is the annual awards for websites and internet media, as it becomes so much more, our primary source of news and entertainment and the way that we connect with the world. And, you know, as she set out to make a film about the ways in which we are all interconnected and, you know, where the shirt that you are wearing has been and every person that has touched it along the way and everyone that has been impacted by its production and transportation before it lands, you know, in our drawers. She had a really unique experience as a mother who ended up becoming pregnant with twins as she started shooting this film. And then she also went through losing her father in this film. And it was a really, you know, very specifically feminine voice and perspective and story that really sort of gets left out of a lot of documentary filmmaking when the filmmaker or the documentarian is just absolutely absent. And this was the first time that Tiffany herself has made herself such a central subject of a film that she's making and really wanted to look at personal connections as well as global connections as she did this, which I think is a really, really unique and to women approach to making film. So we thought that this was a wonderful example for these young women, and she was absolutely inspirational to all of them, as you can tell by their posts.
Tell me who some of the girls are and how they were recruited.
The girls are all activists that do pro-choice volunteer work with the Planned Parenthood Association of Utah in Salt Lake City. I reached out to this whole group and a few other nonprofit organizations around the Park City, Salt Lake City area. Actually, I used to live in Salt Lake City myself, and I used to work at the Planned Parenthood Association of Utah, and then I was also the director of communications at the Utah Pride Center, which is the gay and lesbian community center here. So those were the organizations we reached out to because we had connections with them, and, you know, I've worked with them for years. So I reached out to Planned Parenthood when I decided that we were coming to Sundance and we wanted to take girls on this journey, teaching them how to blog, teaching them how to use social media for change, and teaching them how to ask really meaningful questions. We gave them a lot of camera training, so a lot of the interviews were had video footage that we will also be releasing on our website at womensmediacenter.com. I have had the best 2 days with this group. They are such an inspiring, incredibly intelligent group of young women.
Can you just talk about who a couple of them are? You know, I think we all have some stereotypes probably of what young women in Utah are going to look like and sound like and what kind of families they're going to come from. And some of those, I know from looking at your website, might not be quite accurate.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's really wonderful that we're able to highlight really progressive activists in some of the most conservative states. One of the most inspiring young women is a woman named Karis Benjamin. She is a young African-American woman in a state where, you know, it's about 1% African-American. So, and she is doing an incredible amount of work with Planned Parenthood and is really, really passionate about sex education in a state where this is really a hot button issue. I also have another girl named Molly O'Donnell, who volunteers with the Utah Pride Center and does a lot of work on gay rights in a state where, you know, it's predominantly LDS, and there was, you know, a lot of talk about how that faith impacted Proposition 8 in California. So really seeing some incredible young women here who are, you know, not fleeing Utah and fighting the good fight in a place that isn't, it's not like Sundance every day here, and they're doing it year round.
So speaking of right-wing states or states with a lot of right-wing policies and progressive political people in those states, we, of course, like almost everyone, certainly every progressive person in this country, were really upset by the fatal shooting at the Congress on the Corner event of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords that resulted in the death of 6 people and many more being injured and left a congresswoman fighting for her life. But does it make sense to talk about this as violence against women, or should we just be looking at it as violence against politicians? I was looking at the Women's Media Center website, and you all seem to feel that there was a specific targeting of her because she is a woman leader.
You know, this is a tricky situation where none of us are able to, you know, go into the mind of the extraordinarily sad and confused and disturbed young man that, you know, felt like this was his only option. And so, you know, for us, the only way that you can sort of make sense as a tragedy like this, when you can't get in the mind of that individual, is to see what you can take out of it and what you can maybe learn from it. Certainly, we need to look at, you know, the environmental and cultural, you know, parts of our society that makes, you know, mental illness such an increasingly huge problem in our society. We need to, you know, condemn violent rhetoric because it can extraordinarily impact and impact more severely individuals who have such mental illness. And so our hearts, you know, really go out to the victims of this and hope that we can look at all of the things that make such tragedies happen. There are so many violent images in the media against women, against political leaders. There's a lot of sexist coverage in the ways that women are covered. And this will all impact all of our ideas about women and women who put themselves in public.
This is Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1 FM and online at kpfa.org. Our blog is kpfawomensmag.blogspot.com. You're listening to a conversation between Women's Magazine's Kate Raphael and Yana Walton of the Women's Media Center, and they're talking about how media images affect women's political leadership in this country.
Some of the research that I was doing on the Giffords shooting led me to a part of your site called Name It, Change It. And this was a project that I hadn't heard about that is actually specifically looking at the coverage of women candidates. Can you talk some about where that campaign came from?
We partnered with the Women's Campaign Forum Foundation on this project. Women's Campaign Forum Foundation is a nonpartisan organization that donates to women's campaigns in order to increase the number of women elected officials. Right now, we are 17% of Congress. And, you know, clearly are more than half of the population. So, and then certainly with the Women's Media Center, we really act as watchdogs and monitor a lot of the sexist coverage, not only in news media, also entertainment. But the idea for the project came about when Sam Bennett, who is the president of Women's Campaign Forum, ran for Congress for congressional district in Pennsylvania and was just appalled at the types of questions that she would get, and not just from, you know, not just from blogs that you know can be sort of snarky and, you know, anywhere from snarky to really vitriolic, but you know, being at a press conference and having reporters ask her, you know, what all the men in the room are dying to know, Sam, is what are your measurements, you know, and this being something that, you know, nobody really thought of as calling, you know, as really a problem. So we started really taking a look at media sexism, specifically of women candidates on both sides of the aisle. And we also did some research with Lake Research Associates and polled 800 likely voters on voter confidence when of women candidates compared to men candidates when they read or hear sexist coverage. And what we found was that voter confidence just plummeted when there was coverage of even something as sort of innocuous as focusing on suits or shoes, and then, you know, to the really sort of nasty stuff. But what we also saw was when women addressed this rather than just try to make it go away, as so many campaign managers say, well, you know, we're really not addressing this, or you're talking about your personal life and you're just talking about your platform and your issues and really pushing that aside. What we saw is that when women addressed this and said, you know, this is inappropriate and you wouldn't ask a male candidate this and really addressed it for what it was, the women gained almost all of the voter confidence back and were really able to neutralize that problematic coverage. And so not only, I think, is this, you know, this campaign changed the way in which, you know, this was a conversation out there in the media for the first time about media's responsibility to cover women candidates fairly and talk about their platforms, but also in the ways in which campaign managers and communications directors of women who are running for office will advise their women candidates on how to respond to such attacks.
One of the things that I was surprised and upset to see is that one of the incidents that you reported that was being reported was actually on the Huffington Post. I think that we tend to assume that it's mainly right-wing media, you know, Fox News or whatever, that have really highly sexist coverage of women candidates. But as you report, it is pervasive even in progressive media.
You know, what we saw when we started the Name It, Change It campaign was that this stuff is so insidious and everywhere that oftentimes, and it's so just a part of our media that sometimes we don't even see it or realize it's there. And that is so problematic. And certainly the Huffington Post has been such a game changer for the progressive community and a way for so many voices to be heard and perspectives to be heard that have not been. And it is amazing to see such a media mogul such as Arianna Huffington have such success, you know, as a woman. However, it's, you know, the top red posts are, you know, consistently, you know, Lindsay Lohan twit pics and a lot of nudity on the site that sort of, you know, negates some of what she is actually standing for and trying to do. And so I think it's just worthwhile to examine and to not only critique one side of, you know, the political aisle and their media. So you'll notice that when we ran the Name It, Change It campaign, we also defended some of the really problematic coverage of Sarah Palin and even Christine O'Donnell, because, you know, in the same ways that we will, you know, we're not coming to the defense of Sarah Palin's platform, but we are coming to, you know, hold media accountable for sexist and unfair and unbalanced coverage. We're also going to hold the left accountable for sexist images and articles that they're also guilty of.
Some people have suggested that because the sort of violent rhetoric that may have led to the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords, a lot of it was fueled by people like Sarah Palin, that we can't really say that it was sexist or that it's specifically violence against women. And others have suggested that we have a hyper-masculinist political culture that is sometimes expressed through women, but that nevertheless we can trace the rise of this sort of violence in our politics to an anti-woman and sort of aggressive macho attitude. What is your take on it?
I don't think it's one or the other. I think that they're both coexisting and manifesting themselves in several different ways. We did see a lot of masculine rhetoric coming from women candidates during the midterms, and a lot of the man up, you know, from Sharon Engel to Harry Reid, sorts of terminology that they kept coming up again and again. And I think that it does hold true that for women to, when they're sort of systematically disadvantaged already, and then on top of that, media coverage is already slanted and unfair, and some of the questions, you know, that women candidates are asked would never be asked of men. So they are fighting a harder fight and an uphill battle.
Years ago, when Helen Mirren first came to public attention as starring in the Prime Suspect series on PBS, someone asked her, I remember a reporter asked her if she was going to fight for better roles for women on television. And she said, no, she was going to fight for better roles for women in life. And that when women have more equality in the world, they'll have more equality in the media. But some people, and presumably since you're the Women's Media Center, you would be one of them, feel that what happens in the media also affects what women are able to do in the world.
While I think that sentiment is really beautiful, and you know, it sounds like she was coming from a place where she is looking for equality in all of the aspects of our lives, we are now in a media landscape that is very, very different, where young women and young men are connected to the internet through their phones and through on the computer all day long. And so I think that when most of our lives are really taken over by the media that we consume, that those messages are going to resonate even stronger and be reinforced over and over and over again. Therefore, I think that equality for women is absolutely needs to, in some ways, even start with the media. It is our largest public education vehicle. And if we are getting our ideas about gender and about equality and about justice from the images and songs and television programs and films that we see, it's just going to be an inherent part of the solution.
My guest has been Yana Walton. She's the communications director for the Women's Media Center, and we've been talking about the Name It, Change It campaign. You can get more information about that at the website nameitchangeit.org. You can also get more information about Women's Media Center's work in general at the website womensmediacenter.com. Yana, thanks so much for squeezing me in. I know it's a really busy week for you at the festival there.
Yana Walton is Communications Director for the Women's Media Center. She spoke with my co-producer, Kate Raphael.